Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our regular Thursday stream. I'm once again joined by my regular co-host, Evelyn. So this is a Starman and the Zoomer stream for those of you keeping track.
Don't say that. We're going to end up with the weird statistics people that AA have got.
Oh no.
We'll start doing our efficiency scores and all sorts.
Oh God, no. We'll start getting like weird boomer to zoomer ratios and
Yeah. So
some
it's been a slow news day today then.
it has, yes, it's been a very
Yeah.
slow news
I
day.
think I saw a brief story somewhere that Madame Tussauds have finally got back their wax statue of Queen Elizabeth after it being on loan for 3 years. But other than that, not much.
It's been away for cleaning, apparently. I was going to make a joke about not addressing the whole thing, but it would probably just get annoying too long in. We will be doing a stream about it probably next week, next Thursday, once
Once the aftermath has ensued.
James Murray has it right. The Febreze stocks have plummeted.
Yeah, their CEO of Febreze has jumped at the window.
That's the real death we've seen here.
Some big Russian man's defenestrated him.
But no, what we're actually talking about today, and probably the worst time to take a deep dive into US politics, is we're talking really about the, at least on a media level, the apparent routing of Trump and MAGA, and this idea of populism meeting power, as it were. Because some of the stuff that he's talked about, as we talked about off air, is genuine and some of it is not. It's kind of great we've got this example in the UK of we'll now have possibly more than a month of pure political theatre. And the what was the newspaper that always used to report about Diana every 2 minutes, even like 15 years afterwards?
Is that not the Daily Record or something like that?
No, I think it was the Express. It might be the Daily
What
Express.
about the white Fiat 141 or whatever it was? It was in a tunnel. The person was never interviewed. Wish she would have been alive if she didn't wear her seatbelt. All that kind of stuff.
Yes, we'll get like commemorative royal newspaper covers. Like all of the printers have got these all prepared.
They are gonna unveil so much shit over the next few weeks in the Queen's name. It's gonna be, not that we have any great and deep respect. I think we have to admit, to put it nicely, but the whatever legacy was left, they are about to basically take and kick up the road for whatever was left in it.
Oh yes, of course. There'll be like the Queen Elizabeth Memorial Refugee Centre and all this stuff. But if you guys, again, we're not going to be talking about that in detail at all today. If you want a primer about the stuff we'll be talking about next week, when the dust has settled and we start to see the true form all this guff is taking, watch Apostolic Majesty's Queen of the Ashes stream, which I've seen linked a few places and have linked to myself because that is a I think that's a good starting point for my thoughts on the British royal stuff. But the MAGA stuff and the populism stuff and the Trump stuff has it's come in like fits and starts and waves. There's a lot of stories been rumbling in the background. But it seems that a lot of the figureheads, or at least media figureheads of the MAGA movement
Oh
has,
yeah.
as we've predicted, been put on spikes.
Well, yeah, no, I was gonna say one thing, but I'll lead into it in a minute. I will take the opportunity, however, just to thank all the people who once again show up for the streams and support us and super
Oh, yes, of
chat
course.
and our members and whatever else. It seems we're quite a small number this evening, but maybe because everyone else is distracted, I'm not too sure.
It takes a while for people to filter anyway. We have only been live for about 3 minutes, so hopefully we'll be able to present an alternative to the torrent of "Oi, mate, have you heard? The Queen's dead." Whoa. Anyway, you were shilling.
But I was going to go on to say, actually, it seems to me like at the moment what we're getting is lots of little preamble bits. So that something can happen, or that some other thing can come around from the Biden administration that will tie all these sort of loose ends of the MAGA movement up. And they can continue to lock up a couple other figureheads and then put out a mission accomplished banner and essentially use like public PR to disappear the MAGA movement by making them just so sort of oppressed by friend enemy rhetoric constantly on the media, as we'll get on to towards the end.
Oh, definitely, yes. Well, the other aspect is that the populist MAGA stuff is seen from the center point mainstream media narrative. I'm doing the finger quotes right now. As the far end, they are the fringe. They are the unacceptable far right. They are now beyond the edge of what we would regard as the Overton window, and are being dealt with accordingly. But it's the genius of this, because they do this all the time, and as we'll see through all of it, they are making people fight tooth and nail to preserve something that is meaningless, and to compromise from this, this watery 1990s Democrat position that Trump really held. And they are creating a center point between there and now at which the rhinos can compromise too. And both these groups are doing it very, very consciously. And this really is the meat and potatoes of the populist delusion stuff. And we don't have any quotes here. If you want to listen to the populist delusion, go over to, we showed it last week, go over to, oh, sorry, on Monday, sorry, Peter Quinones' channel and
It
watch.
was also a book we have done a review of ourselves.
I was getting onto that, yeah. And watch your reading of it, or you can watch our basically review of the Popper Solution on this channel. I'm hoping people are quite well versed in the theory by now. We're kind of going through these as practical examples. One of genuine political action against perceived enemies, and two of pure political theatre, because I think all of this is a mix of both, in my
Well,
opinion.
should we start with one of the kind of crux events that really, because I think it is this sort of thing that needs to have the kind of discernment put through of whether or not it is legit. If the FBI is genuinely raiding Trump's property because there are genuine reasons for him to be some kind of renegade, and for him to have things that, I know it's very Q to suggest, but maybe he's got the receipts. So we don't really know. Like, I think that's maybe part of the whole sort of thing, is that it's not so much that it's theatre, it's that, well, maybe it is theatre, but it's also maybe not. I understand that sounds very sort of grey and weird and non-precise, but that's exactly the purpose of it in a lot of ways, is to keep you sort of in the mire of not really knowing.
It is. It keeps people in that confused state that we talk about, that agitated but also befuddled state, where people aren't really sure what's real, they aren't really sure what's going on, because it shows up about nine different narratives. It shows up the Q narrative in some people's minds. It shows up the establishment Democrat line in other
Well,
people's minds. It's basically, if you look at the
the
Mar-a-Lago raid.
I will say the only other thing to relate to today's events is it's the 1776th day after the first Q post.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I'll just leave that hanging, shall I?
You got the Queen, guys, I know. As I was saying, the element of this is that it's like a political Rorschach test. You see in the Mar-a-Lago raid what you want to see.
Yes. It confirms exactly what you want it to confirm. It confirms the fact that Trump is a renegade. It confirms the fact that, or shall I say, it confirms the fact that Trump is a renegade for whatever that means to you, whether he's the renegade friend or the renegade enemy.
Yes.
It either confirms the fact that the FBI is the swamp and it's the deep state and it's corrupt to the core, or it proves that the FBI were right all the time and this is all about Russia still. I mean, they'll probably dig Russia back through into this stuff at some point. I'm waiting for that all to be weaved back together.
Sorry, my headphones seem to have failed for a second there. Yes, no, I'm waiting for that. Excuse me, that bow to tighten as well. I'm having the big sneeze this evening. It is I just I'm seem to be allergic to something.
Oh no.
So I keep muting my headphones. I just cannot stop sneezing today.
But yeah,
But I'll soldier through.
there is all the kind of usual like tip, almost Q level stuff of like, oh, these are secret classified documents, and we don't know whether or not he stole them or he was allowed to have them, and it's. It just seems so deliberate. I mean, if you were to try and write like some sort of spy novel, this is the kind of thing you would
Yes,
have in it.
it does feel like fiction is reality. That's another aspect that I'm not the only one to say this, but a few people said that it feels like a narrative, and not in like the news narrative way, but like the actual narrative way. Like you, this is exactly what was supposed to happen in both camps. And really, my reading of this, is that Trump has a huge amount of paperwork from when he used to run the government from Mar-a-Lago, basically, or at least think, he used to run the office of the president from Mar-a-Lago. Trump never ran the government. He didn't like being in Washington, didn't like being in the White House, and he has these documents here that were in some way either declassified or put to one side. And I think this is probably something he was told to do on some level by some technocrat or some bureaucrat, or I have no I really don't hold water that he genuinely is keeping these as quote unquote the receipts.
Yeah, no, I'm not entirely sure about that either. I mean, it's I mean, is this just like one of those things that every president would do, but every not even necessarily president, you know, people who work in any office of state in America would do procedurally anyway, even though it might be outside of the rules, and then they've just pinched him for it. Whereas, you know, we had the whole where are our emails thing. Right at the start of 2015, 2016, with a private email server and this, that, and the next thing. You know, it's basically the exact, you know, it's almost to a certain extent the exact same thing. We're getting the reverse story now as Donald Trump gets turned into a martyr
Yes.
for people who, I mean, it brings into question as well the whole running in 2024. Is it just a complete farce? Like it would seem to be after 2020, or are we just gonna get, you know, sort of DeSantis containment thing, or there's so much that may happen.
I honestly do think that this is a way to draw a line under it and to bar Trump from running in 2024. That is the end goal, whether or not it's genuine or agreed between parties or whether there's a deal been struck or not. I think that will be the end point of this. But there will be some token charge he pleads down to, basically, that stops him from being able to hold public office. The whole Trump thing got a bit away from them. It actually did. And they need people to be looking in different areas and move on from it to keep the political experiment stuff going. Because as fun as the Q stuff is for some people, and as useful as some of the Q stuff is for them, it's a dead end in many ways. And it's kind of being brought to its conclusion here with the sacrificial kind of bonfiring of all these figureheads. We'll get to people like Bannon, Alex Jones in a second.
Well, it was what surprised me was the number of people who are known grifters that stood up straight away and were like, oh, you know, this is an overreach by the FBI. It's like this was a genuine operation by the FBI against a political enemy. You would not be on Twitter with a verified account telling people that this was a some kind of illegitimate operation.
You'd be in the modern political equivalent in the US of a gulag, I guess. If they really were coming for Trump, all guns blazing, you wouldn't be able to say on Twitter they're coming for Trump, all guns blazing.
No, and it's been the same with, I think, as we'll get into later, with all the election stuff and the recounts and Dinesh D'Souza's
Oh, excuse
operation
me.
to save the faith in democracy.
Yes, it all comes down to the central thesis. They really have to keep the MAGA stuff in the public eye. I see this as an attempt to prop up Trump as a villain and a hero in both senses.
What it does as well is it stops people talking about Joe Biden. On the most simple sort of
Yes.
front, it completely changes the conversation. It's almost wag the dog. It's like, well,
It is
people
very
love
wag the
talking
dog.
about Trump, but they also love bagging on Biden. But maybe they like Trump gossip more than bagging on Biden. So as long as we just keep throwing stuff at the wall, 3, 4 days of the week, people talk about Trump anyway and not focus on the actual decline around them.
Well, everyone wants this. The media wants this. The Democrat establishment wants this. The power structure, the actual people in power want this. To a degree, I think the Republican Party wants this as a chance to finally draw a line under the Trump era and really kind of re-neoconify the whole thing.
Well,
Because as you've
because
noticed with all of this, it's all got that veneer of rhino uselessness to it still.
yeah, well, as January 6th proved, and as sort of the one of the basic sentiments from Nima Parvini's populist delusion as via Mikhail's The Iron Law of Oligarchy, these people just ran around the White House and they unleashed their rage on it by lightly vandalizing it and taking pictures
Yes.
and selfies. So they're not an organized political group that has clout behind them. And
No.
that's why they can get away with doing this. That's why they can send the FBI after Trump and know that there's not really going to be much of a backlash, because even though there might be lots of people angry and they might believe the government's illegitimate, some of them have probably believed
This.
that since 9/11 and they've not done anything about it.
Well, Trump isn't in prison. This is the political equivalent, the political persecution equivalent of play fighting. They've got just enough in the public eye. They've got just enough to maybe get him to not be in office. He's not going to face serious jail time. I don't think they're going to do that. He's not. I think imprisoning Trump would be a step too far, and it would defeat their goals.
No,
It'd be.
I think it would raise a lot of eyebrows doing that, I think.
Yes.
However, again, I think genuinely they probably just get away with it.
Well, they would. But he serves their interest much better as a political actor still out there in the wild. It's the hopium factor. Trump serves as this lure, this unreachable thing for a large section of the American public now who are yearning for their supposed kind of dissident emperor back. It really props up his image as a force of genuine dissidents. Whereas if we look back on the Trump era, he really achieved nothing. In fact, he
No.
achieved
Well, yeah, Joe did.
less than nothing.
He launched a warp speed vaccine program that he will probably in
Yes.
future be held accountable for if they get to a point whereby they can't hold back against public pressure that wants, them to acknowledge maybe some of the adverse reactions people have had.
Yes. Trump very much filled the same role that Boris Johnson has filled, in that he was there to use up a whole bunch of political energy and then be discarded. And he was meant to lightning rod all of this sentiment and then be thrown away and be shown why this sentiment doesn't work in quote unquote political reality. He and the raid demonstrates this. He's meant to be within the narrative a cautionary tale about why we don't let non-politicians in power.
Yeah, not entirely. It's another way to gatekeep any form of sort of almost bourgeois elite, as
Yes.
Francis would refer to, or the post-bourgeois sort of elite, sorry.
As we've talked about previously, Trump is an outsider, but he is an outsider from an insider place, if you know what I mean. He's an outsider within elite circles, but he's still an elite. He's
Well,
still someone who'd been nestled in kind of the power and media stuff for many decades.
I think there is something to still considering, not necessarily the Q side of things, but once you have a decent enough grasp of the Epstein stuff, you realize, oh wait, lots of dodgy stuff happened in, all across this kind of network of people during the 80s and 90s, which Trump was very much a part of. So he probably knows a few things.
Well, there's that very famous quote that people use in the wrong way where he talks about Epstein and he keeps harping about all these very young, beautiful girls talking about how young they are. And he's basically winking and nodding because that's the point he'd fallen out with him and saying, look, I know this guy is a bit of a nonce. But he never came out and like named names, really. He just it's a
No.
bit of a billion it's a billionaire spat.
But it does make you consider that there is maybe completely otherwise personal interests involved in painting this narrative in a certain way and making certain characters look illegitimate that are around the same scene who aren't necessarily populist, but you know, are your conspiracy theorists that can be tied to Trumpism in some way.
Yes. Well, what the story you've got up here is a secondary story from Sky News about the fact that during
Sorry,
the
I've got the
raid.
independent one just now, but I can go back,
Sorry,
please.
the independent one is the Sky News is the primary one about the fact that he's supposedly got nuclear secrets, and it plays into their whole narrative of Cheeto Hitler with his finger on the button, blah blah blah. It's like you were saying, you couldn't have written something better than this. They even got his Time magazines in the frame, like these incredibly staged photos that feel like props because they essentially are. But the independent story I've got up here talks about the fact that not only were medical and tax materials removed and sifted through by the security services, they were also supplied to prosecutors.
I will say this one's asking me to register, but the subtitle alone gives us the main meat and bones anyway.
Yes,
Which is again, it's another friend enemy thing. It's declaring the precedent that if you are the enemy, you have no privacy. Your medical records will be taken and tampered with and used against you.
there is going to be, I think, a Trump show trial, but it's a show trial that will end in a slap on the wrist. That's my opinion of what's going to go forward here. And Trump will go along with it, as he always has done, doing the bare minimum to keep some kind of credentials as an outsider. He's almost like a moody toddler being dragged along to the circus by his parents. That seems to be his role with where the establishment moves him. He'll get pissy about it, but ultimately he knows what he needs to do to survive, and he will do it.
Well, I don't know, should we continue on to some of the other stuff, because we have got a fair bit to get through
Oh,
here.
we have a lot to get through. Yeah, we'll briefly touch on the Politico article here, which is them just listing all of Trump's lawyers, like a weird wink and a nod. I have no idea why they would make this or why this would be here if it wasn't quite literally a list of legal people that someone somewhere should in some way make suffer for
Yeah,
being Hitler's lawyer.
this is like a wink and nod to like professional legal people, but you don't work with these people anymore. You know, if this person's either part of your firm or is part of a project your firm is working on, you are not part of this anymore. Again, they've got the same incredibly staged picture that makes it look like a raid at some like Scorsese film.
Yes. Because they've even stuck it on some fake documents and stuff. Oh, that's it does. It all feels extremely fictional. But it plays into people's minds, which is a lot of people have a very fictionalized version of the world in their heads.
Got Trump's tax returns, God.
Yeah, it's a blacklist, is what it is. Or at least it's a fantasy blacklist. It at least puts the wind up these people, and it says, we know that. You know that we know what we're doing. And that's what articles like this are meant to do. They're meant to be a signal, a tip towards the fact that this is an unacceptable behavior. And generally they don't go after the lawyers. It's usually the lawyers are left out of it because there's this idea of almost like a gentleman's agreement that, oh, everyone needs a lawyer, even murderers need a lawyer. But they are positioning Trump, MAGA, Trumpism, whatever you want to call it, in this beyond the pale zone quite artificially,
Well,
because
this was.
ideologically it has nothing to say.
Well, I was gonna say that sort of legalistic area was maybe one of the few places where Trump could have actually swayed some kind of lasting power by appointing and making use of friendly sort of legal capacities to bend the rules as they pleased, because that's exactly what the enemies do.
Yes, we move into here. That's a great pivot. That's kind of a link point. A lot of this stuff hangs together quite well. There is the case of lawfare. We've seen a large amount of lawfare be brought to bear on the establishment's boogeyman, or boogeymen, boogeyman or boogeymen.
Well,
sorry, I
I'm
speak in
totally
sequence,
convinced it
but.
wasn't a coincidence that this trial and the FBI raid basically happened within, what, 2 days of each other, the final verdict,
Yes.
and then there was the raid on Mar-a-Lago. It's like, you know, they're literally going after all the quote-unquote populist figureheads in one go.
There's also we'll talk about after this, the stuff with Bannon as well that was done at basically the same time. And it all runs concurrently with the January 6th stuff. In fact, that was related to the January 6th committee. But what's happened, and if you don't know, most people do know, but the Alex Jones has been sued. I think there's three different cases. We'll go over the primary one, which is he was sued in Texas by the families of the how do I phrase this in a way that's because it's very obvious that you can't say what Alex Jones was saying. You can't even hint at the idea that there may be something slightly afoot with a narrative around Sandy Hook. I mean, I posted that video a few times to people who have been. I've had people go off at me at length about, even saying that there is a right to question this. It's almost it's Sandy Hook is basically the American Holocaust at this point. It's an event so real, it's illegal to question it. And this is
Well,
what
no,
it proves. It,
it's
it,
hilarious though, or not hilarious, but maybe slightly more. I say hilarious because I don't quite fully understand it. Question 9/11 to your heart's content, but
Hmm.
can't question Sandy Hook.
No. And
Tell you
9/11 is the
what,
most fashionable.
the family had some amount of money to launch this kind of legal trial though, because I doubt Alex Jones has terrible lawyers.
Well, he does, but they seem to have like deliberately crashed the case almost.
Well, no, actually, saying that now, that reminds me. During, I think it was the first day of the trial. Was it not one of his defense lawyers basically turned around and said, "I basically won't defend this man, so I'm gonna essentially put forward that he should plead guilty and leave it at that," and essentially didn't do any work on it.
Yep, and there's also the fact that they sent discovery to the prosecution, quote unquote, by accident, with text messages that contradict his testimony on the stand, or purport to contradict it. Yeah, this was he was guilty from the mo moment this started because of the judge he was, given. But this again has really been it's been a civil show trial in a way. That this confirms what everybody, was supposed to think about Alex Jones, that he's a kook, he's a, in some ways a criminal, he's a defamer, and you cannot question our Lord and Savior Sandy Hook in any way, shape, or form, or else you will be destroyed and you will have to pay, as it says here.
Well, isn't the $45 million thing a bit of hokum anyway? Because due to some Texas law, as an individual, you can't be personally more liable for something like, I can't remember, but it was some six-figure sum, not a ridiculous
Well, they're
eight-figure
trying to get
sum.
around that with one, multiple lawsuits, and two, also taking entities that
They're basically going to
either
force
he.
him to sell InfoWars.
Yes, they're trying to essentially sue InfoWars out of existence as well. That's the long and short of it. But yeah, it was 45 million in punitive damages. The judge instructed the jury to find him guilty, basically, and to impose as big a fine as possible on multiple occasions. This, if you've seen any of it, I know Ricardo Lord has some coverage of it. I don't know. He was very, very unhappy with how Alex Jones' lawyers behaved. They basically stitched him up completely. But if you look at the way it was conducted, this was essentially a show trial of Alex Jones by a Democrat judge. And that's what all that you can expect in the legal system, really. It's very, very clear that that's the way the legal system works. That you. In America, they talk about the First Amendment.
Well, I was going to say, they have the First Amendment, don't they? How did this happen?
How did this happen? How was a man sued for 45 million in the freest nation on earth for merely noticing and merely questioning? It's quite amazing, isn't it? Ashragun in chat says the judge stepped in personally to call Alex Jones a liar. Again, part of that was due to the contradictory evidence and statements his lawyers made,
Well,
which
it
they should
seems
not
as
have done.
well that this isn't the end of it either. You've got one here from NBC. You've put in the
Yes.
document. Alex Jones must face defamation case in Connecticut despite bankruptcy filing judge rules.
He's already been found liable for the maximum that he can be
Well, I was going to say, at
put
what
to the
point are going
law.
to find him liable for so much money that they basically just tot it up into like prison time and he just never gets seen again?
Well, like I said, they're trying to find all assets related to him, all tangentially related companies he might have been involved in. There's a whole suite of lawsuits. If you Sifter's article, it says
Yeah, the Connecticut
defamation
jury will
case.
decide what, if any, damages Jones owes in the case, although state law could also limit what we'd have to pay. The two remaining trials are expected to begin next month after juries are selected.
They're talking about the whole free speech systems, a company owned by Jones and a defendant in the Connecticut case, which is one of the vectors they're trying to use to get him to pay over the individual maximum. Is doing one of his legal entities, basically. And this is even further to another pending case in Texas, where another family involved in Sandy Hook is also suing him, basically in the same way that he's already been sued. So he's got three. He's got one defamation case. He has already lost, and he's got two of them pending. And this is all meant to signal that Alex Jones is done.
Yeah, not entirely. And because there is activist judges up and down the country, they can either, sue him into complete bankruptcy or sue him into the point where he's so busy with bloody legal trials that he'll never be able to do anything for the rest of his life. I've noticed a really nice Caesar's given us a couple of super chats here.
Yes, do
I
you want to
think
give
the
those a
deep
read?
state overplayed its hand and really banked on getting some kind of dirt. However, they found nothing as well. You can still run for president even if arrested.
Well, it's not that they didn't find it. They found something that they could potentially drum up into an idea that he will not be able to run for president. It doesn't really matter if they found anything or not. I think the idea that this is genuine is something that needs to be fought. Like I said, a lot of this is just theater. Even if it is them going after him in a genuine way, it doesn't have to be genuine evidence. I mean, they can and will just make things up.
Well,
It's
no,
you.
that's exactly the point. Are we not at this point willing to accept that there is nothing they won't fake?
It doesn't really matter whether or not the documents are real. It doesn't really matter whether or not Trump is playing along or he genuinely is a dissident. It doesn't actually matter if he is Q's guy or not. All of that is irrelevant because the whole MAGA thing is irrelevant. Because it has been proven it is not a viable vector of gaining meaningful power. If it was, this wouldn't happen to him and couldn't happen to him.
No.
It is a bearing out, whichever one of these options it is, this is a bearing out of the delusionary nature of populism. That you, as a mass of people, that we, the people, in the American sense, can go out, can elect a leader and have him make war on the elite, in our image and using our mass will. It simply results in this. It results in dollar store show trials and media narrative just pantomimes that we've seen here. It is, like you said, it is so akin to a fictional storyline that it might as well be, because
Oh, yeah,
in
no,
many ways it is.
I really noticed Caesar put another super chat, but entrenched permit on elected officials or incestuous groups have grown incompetent. I don't think that's true, as we discussed in the Trust stream. And he's gone on to say about how you still got to play the game. We live in democracy with absolute naked power. It doesn't allow you to justify actions. I think you find it does.
Well,
I mean,
what are people?
that's entirely the premise of the thing at the end of the day is that when, I mean, it's going to seem a weird link, but when push comes to shove, there are activist lawyers who can use the force of the state to end your business, to basically ruin your life. And these people are given as much power by their friends in the state as they see fit. And we don't have that. And it seems to be stating the obvious, but what that means is that no, they can really just justify their action by the fact that they have power and they can do it.
We got an earlier super chat, I don't know if we've read it or not, from Coney Current Year saying perfect evening to be listening to the Smiths. That's kind of funny. But the next, what I got here, the next point really about this is that,
Well, I was gonna say, that's how I've got this next one up here, but who is
yeah.
Maya Guerra Gamble? Just some activist lawyer, I'm sure, is tied in with the Democrat Party, and then as you've got in the picture here, supports every cause going. So it's clearly not on our side, let's put it that way.
Yeah, they managed to find, like, Austin is not real Texas. Anyone will tell you that. It's fucking Rainbow Texas. It is California diaspora, Texas, and she's essentially a California judge. If she wasn't a judge, she'd be working at the DMV. She looks like she's misplaced her foot-long nails.
God.
She's some Hispanic person they've put in a legal robe with a big fucking hoop earring still to go out there and beat the tub. And that's how they see
God.
the law.
Look at this.
That's why.
If at any time I feel like a performance is being given or this is being used for some purpose other than the trial, said Judge Guerra Gamble. She also informed Jones that she would throw out news media if he tried to turn the case into a show trial to promote himself. Just accuse your enemy of what you are currently doing. It's a tactic that
Yes.
always works.
It is very much that. It was her really getting up there and giving Alex Jones what for with her position as a judge. This is why I hate people who, oh, you can't undermine the neutrality of the legal system. It's like, are you that much of a retard, or are you just genuinely our enemy that you
Well, no,
believe
it
the
even
legal
goes on to
system's
say at the bottom
neutral?
here, Judge blah, 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 elected to her position as Texas 459th, that's ninth, not one E at the end, whoever writes this thing, District Court Judge in 2018. She will seek re-election this year, and interest in her campaign has peaked. Wrong peaked. After videos of her performance in the courtroom were posted online.
Yeah, who wrote this? Because this is terrible. The
But no,
grammar in here is like a
it's.
10-year-old.
Paragraph, or two paragraphs before. You turn this into a show trial, you use this for any other purpose, you will be, we'll throw out the news media and you will be reprimanded. Interest in our campaign has peaked after videos of performance in the courtroom were posted online. It's like, it's almost like you've used this show trial to show that you've got political clout.
Yeah, it's almost like you've used a show trial to in the media to further yourself and your own public image. God, that's stuff. But she is a Texas native and has worked in the state since her since her graduation. Oh, good Lord. Oh, she's a public defender. Yeah, they're known for being competent. They're known for being the absolute paragons of the legal profession, as they're depicted hilariously in fiction when they're really just legal janitors. They are actually just like mop holders for the federal government, our public defenders. They are a joke.
And then, of course, the activist lawfare doesn't end. This is a slightly older one from The Guardian, but again, another figurehead of the populist movement, Steve Bannon, convicted of contempt of court for defying capital attacks subpoena.
Well, this again is the same. It's in the criminal vein. Whilst they've really got rid of Alex Jones through civil means, through just it's very Church of Scientology what's happened to.
Look at that on the right there. The Queen's funeral. What we can expect over the next 10 days? Operation
And
Unicorn. What happens after the Queen's death in Scotland?
oh, good Lord.
But see, the news circus is on this already. But we shall continue on to the subject. We're going to try and talk about.
Michelle, yes, this is from July, but this is only from July. We're in mid-September now, really. We're in, well, still early September. This is from late July, so this is not 2 months removed from us. It is all happening at once. Steve Bannon was convicted of contempt of Congress for defying capital attack subpoena. Basically, Bannon didn't want to take part in the congressional show trial that is being used to, again, thump the tub of the January 6th commission and the idea that there was an attempted coup in the United States run by ostensibly what is the populist right, and that they are made to be these figures that are living up to the ridiculous media hype that was brought about during the 2020 election. That really this is the culmination of the Trump Russia, Trump traitor narrative.
God,
Where
this
we're
article
seeing the
some
last
length as
parts of
well.
the
There's
script come in.
just feel there's so
Yes.
much filler.
Well, the thing is with Bannon is he is very obviously somebody, as we'll come to later, who has used whatever opportunities he had to funnel money not into his own, not just into his own coffers, but the coffers of other people who are groups he considers friendly.
Yes.
He has played the NGO and charity game much like the left does, in that they very much use it as their own personal piggy bank to finance their own personal causes. And it's routine that you just expect a homeless charity to go, well, we're not really for the homeless. We're going to give out all this ostensibly propaganda about all these different causes. And no one bats an eyelid. But the thing about Bannon is that despite him not being honestly the most above board person in many ways, I think a lot of his commitment was genuine.
Well, no,
I
that's that,
saw
I
and
think that's
see
something
him.
we've mentioned before, is we have always been a lot more on the fence, at least, about whether or not Bannon is a legitimate dissident. He, for all appearances, he seems to be. However, someone in the chat was asking, I don't know, maybe they're further back in the stream or whatever, Christian, why would they do this if all sorry, why would they do all this if it has no effect? Because first and foremost, this is about perception management and about creating these almost two simultaneous narratives in the public eye that can be told through one source
This
and
has an
one
immense
article.
effect. What this does is it has an immense effect. It creates all this energy around figures like Bannon and Trump, and to an extent, still Alex Jones. And it creates this mass circus where you get millions of Americans fixated on every new piece of news about these events, running through their own political kind of hero story, in which through their engagement with this, they're able to bring back Trump and set America back on its right path by having kind of piss water level light beer republicanism as filtered through a lifelong Democrat. That's what this is. That sets up and it gives them like the idea that this is something radical and revolutionary, and that what they believe in really is anti-establishment, and really it isn't, and they're having to prop it up. I believe that Bannon was quite, that's why he's facing jail time, and that's why he's facing, as we'll go to in a minute, other charges. But he has been squarely put in the position of this is what happens if you are a genuine dissident of any stripe. This is what happens if you put your head above the parapet, and this is what happens to people who defy us. They will go to prison. I think it's very clear in Bannon's case. And it's a great exercise, again, it's a great exercise in what happens when populism meets power. Because Bannon was a very popular figure. He's still a very popular figure. He still has a huge amount of kudos
Well, yeah,
in the MAGA
I was going
movement
to
as
say
kind of its
the
flame keeper.
then is this more recent one. This is from today, actually. This basically happened a couple hours ago.
This
Bannon's
happened as I was putting these documents together,
yeah
yes.
yeah but this also happened on the same day as another event, but I'll not mention it.
Yes.
Bannon surrenders to face New York indictment and wall case. Stephen K. Bannon, whom former President Donald J. Trump pardoned, has been entangled in what prosecutors have said was a crowdfunding fraud scheme.
I mean, isn't that a kind of a redundant? All crowdfunding is basically fraud.
And unless you're doing honest funding for genuine causes like academic and scholarly purposes, like visiting the Mises Institute.
I know. The thing about this one is that it stems from, again, f criminal charges that were he was pardoned on a federal level for, but they're trying to go after him at a state level for. Basically, it says that Trump's presidential pardons aren't worth the paper they're written on.
No.
Well, to be fair, you
It's
can't
not got
pardon people and
the same clout as a Clinton pardon.
no, it does not. But it also there's kind of a tradition in that pardons are a signal that they're meant to be respected if the person holds power, even if there could be a technical legal way of doing
This
it. It's almost seen as bad form.
well, this seems quite sort of. I wonder what sort of loopholes they're using for this. Because if I'm right in saying that We Build the Wall Inc. thing was pretty much a lobbying group.
Yes.
It had nothing actually to do with building a wall. It was more just about engaging in political organization to, get the idea further out there. So this idea that they can charge him with felony counts of money laundering, two felony counts of conspiracy, and a felony count of scheming to defraud in connection with his work. You could take basically every old Democrat, politician to court for
Well,
supporting
there was.
LGBT interest groups they don't actually believe in.
Yes, well, there was on paper here wrongdoing, and but it's the wrongdoing that everyone who runs an NGO and charity does. It is quite literally him doing what everyone else does, him doing the sausage getting made process of getting money through a political fundraiser and then moving it around
Oh
where he sees
no,
fit.
look at my man's Attorney General, Letitia James. He gonna be in jail.
Yeah, well, that's why they're doing it in New York.
This doesn't happen to be the Southern District of New York they're doing this in by any chance, is it?
It might well be, actually.
A lot of stuff seems to go on there. I'm sure it's got a mention in here, surely, that that's where this is going down.
I think it is. But it is state level rather than federal level, but it is still very much an attempt to, again, the wall thing.
God,
the money
is,
was
I believe this is contributed by Dana Rubinstein and T. Kavetta Dandazai. Diverse writing staff in New York Times. No bio-Leninist alliances here.
I believe that's a Georgian or like Russian name, maybe. Maybe Polish, I don't know. Rubinstein definitely isn't, though. Rubinstein sounds like a hell of a sandwich, though. I'd eat Rubinstein. I don't know. I got nothing on that, really. It's a lot of this speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Again, I don't even think Bannon is as far along as he could be. Although his communications one of his communication platforms, which he doesn't run, I think it was his Telegram, is like his Bannon War Room Telegram group,
yeah,
did recommend Peter.
I don't think that
Quinones,
group's actually run by him, because that group.
No, it's not. I said it's not run by him.
Yeah.
But it is a blessed communication platform.
Hmm.
It's not run by him, but it is, I think, somewhat endorsed, which was funny.
I see we're getting into Dominion news next.
Well, what I want to go over, and really what this is all a framing device for, because it's taken us kind of 45 minutes to get to the real discussion here, is all of this is a framing device for keeping the main far edge of the Republican base on board with the Stop the Steal project.
Yes.
And on board with their mission being to stop the steal, defend democracy. It's, when you look at it, it's almost genius. Again, you have to respect the hustle. But what they've done is they've taken what is ostensibly an anti-machine candidate, an anti-Washington candidate, an anti-process candidate, in many people's minds, a vote against the systems, and made the base of it the ultimate defender of what is, you know, the neutral system, the idea of American democracy, not the republic, not the peoples, not the constitution, but the act of voting itself has become the central, like, sacrosanct idea of this group of people.
No, I've been reading a lot of De Juvenal over the last couple of weeks, and that's one of the things he notices as well, that power, and both on power and sovereignty, talks about it at one point, where the system just becomes efficient legalistic operation, and the notion of just, and that, and the idea of the system being just, becomes completely and utterly arbitrary. Not to say that it couldn't be arbitrary in the past, but now that there is no, you know, there is no link to one singular moral canon through the elites down through to the people on the lowest orders in society, it just does not exist in any way, shape, or form. So there is no even, you know, agreed upon subset of morals that people could point to as just.
No. There really is, again, that there's no deeper framework behind a lot of this supposed kind of MAGA distant action. There's not even any real ideology behind it. There isn't a set of ideas. There is this reactionary, in the bad sense, this knee-jerk reaction to agitation about defending our democracy, about the sacred act of American voting. And the fact that they're able to harness so much energy from so many Americans about, you know, the sanctity of the vote is, one, worrying from our point of view, but two, it's meaningless. It's all meaningless. They're not going to reverse, you know, it's 2022, it's current year, guys. We're 2 years out, they're not going to reverse the 2020 election. It's like COVID, making medical arguments about the lockdowns isn't going to work because it's not a medical issue. Making electoral arguments about the power structure isn't going to work because it's not a genuine electoral system. It's not about that. You're explaining the symptoms of a sickness that they know is there and is there by design
God, there's this.
in both
They've
cases.
actually allowed comments on this, but I suppose it is The Verge. God, some are calling themselves modern Gnostic. Ugh.
It's modern Gnostic. Oh no. Can we not?
They have no evidence to support their attacks on Smartmatic.
Well, I don't want to dig up my archives and I don't want to engage in the copium myself, but Smartmatic is a company that was, or at least a lot of the people involved in it, were the people who allowed Maduro to gain and stay in power. They are the dodgy voting machine of choice in the second and third world. Smartmatic itself has a lot of links to a whole plethora of like voting research and AI, and there's a whole web of weirdness there, which is why people started really looking at it and getting into it. But it doesn't matter. Like, it's like people making an argument about like who made the tracks of the tanks that are treading over them and arguing whether or not the company made them or not. It's got that kind of vibe to it. It's they are debating about the constituent like chemical composition of the rubber of the boot that is stamping on their face. They are trying to create this large scale debate and a whole world of like evidence and fight back, like it was genuine, like they could have their day in court when they couldn't. They
So
were never meant to.
the long and the short of it is, as this NPR one maybe makes more obvious, 2020 election is back in court and also the media, as Dominion sues conservative media outlets, who said conservative media outlets we know can't really be trusted to any great extent and may as well just be playing into this same sort of theatrical element of it. That now OAN and Newsmax will now be seen in the eyes of the MAGApede as the trusted source.
It's like the GB News effect. All the right people hate it. They must be doing something right. It's very much you invent your own enemies. It's how, again, Trump was so propped up by Clinton,
Well, no,
and Trump was so
exactly.
propped
I
up.
don't know how many times I said myself, even early on, like pre-2016, like. All the right people hate Trump. Maybe there's something to this, but I can also see the inverse of that of how, the sort of the negative of that can also be played upon.
As I've expressed multiple times, if we were currently living in a parallel universe to a Trump's second term, very little would be different.
No.
He would essentially be held hostage by Congress and the Senate to intervene maybe 95% as
Dominion is
heavily in.
suing Newsmax, OAN, and Burn for a minimum of $1.6 billion each.
No, they called in the big lawyers.
I
It
think
is the point.
this trial will probably just never end then, will it?
No, it's probably just going to be a great payday for. I think what's happened is, though, like with Sandy Hook and like with all this, basically all the news companies shat themselves and withdrew the claims. So it is
Oh,
now court
it's obviously
certified
had
reality.
some effect though, because you've got another one from The Verge here. OAN, One American News gets dumped by Verizon, the only major carrier it had left.
Well, that's the culmination of this. Those two stories I had there are linked in this article, and The Verge is right with the narrative they're putting forward, in that this is the culmination of them stepping into the performative area that they are signaling is the dissidence, rather than what we are, which is something that isn't really talked about or is talked about in strange terms in Newsweek about the neutral cathedral in footnotes. This is very much signaling both to friend and enemy where the enemy should go in terms of narrative and where the friend should go to attack them. It's a great, like, almost like bat signal to people that
Well,
one,
if I
they should
might,
ex expend their energy trying to prop up OAN, and two, continue to partake in the Stop the Steal stuff.
Well, no, I was going to say that if I might reference my talk from the Witan that I put up on Substack the other day, if anyone cares to read it.
I already had the link there, I was going to shill. So.
Ah, good. Thank you. No, that you know, the sort of political formulas that are used can be used not just to organise your friends, but as you say, your enemies. You know, by saying what you are, you orientate the other people around you by basically declaring them as not that. You know,
this is why
it was.
Yeah,
it's where that beautiful connection comes in between the two different aspects that Schmitt talks about in politics: the sovereign is he who declares the exception, and the friend-enemy distinction. You know, you need to be the sovereign to declare who is the exceptional enemy and the exceptional friend, and by declaring, you know, that these are the exceptional enemies, you're declaring the sort of the normal friend, as it were. There is always two elements to these sort of distinctions, and that's why you know, you can they can use an event like the Roe v. Wade thing as a way to organize themselves around it sort of negatively. You know, well, you've got to join the rallying cry for being against this.
The way it inserts itself into what we talk about and what we do is that it creates this space where if you are genuinely distant in a way that you would say, look, the American electoral system and the elections themselves don't matter. They have basically always been in some way fake. They are political theater to verify in the minds of people who already holds power. And by positioning themselves, you know, positioning the distant position as the stop the steal position, they place those of us who are genuinely distant in a like an outer space circle, in a not a circle that they like point to and shriek Nazi at, but well, they do, but in a space that people don't have reference points for. Almost like a surreal space in which everything has been new speaked out of it, as it were, that there is most people who are stop the steal activists or who genuinely believe in the veracity of Trump to affect a change in a meaningful way. Those people don't have any method to process like what we would talk about, what we are.
Well, no,
they would simply just see us as these cranks who speak a completely different political language.
Well, because what you do as well is you get to declare whether when there is no neutral ground all of a sudden, and that's almost kind of the vicious circle of it, as they sort of say, well, here's this patch of ground that's not quite neutral but not quite wrong, and then all of a sudden neutrality isn't on the table anymore, so you're constantly moving from, you know, in to out to one faction to the other, and, you know, through this process of keeping you moving all the time, you never have the opportunity to actually build any formal political organisation. Instead, you're just constantly tied to all the other ones that exist around you that are legacy organisations that have existed for decades, if not centuries.
All of this exists ultimately to do the same thing that happened with UKIP and the Conservative Party, in that ONM was meant to be a lightning rod for the MAGA feeling, be used up and then be thrown away. And this cycle happens in British politics, in American politics, in basically all post-war politics around the world, in which you have these enemies that are deliberately propped up by the establishment, deliberately put up in effigy, have a spotlight thrust upon them. They are then performatively supported and opposed, and inevitably at the end of it they are like ritually destroyed and done away with as a way of kind of excoriating the politics that is no longer acceptable and will never be spoken of again. And that's really what this is. It's creating the position in which the Republican kind of hard line is, well, we're for slightly lower taxes and for slightly less abortion, but of course we all wear Ukraine flags, and of course, you know, of course there's no end of money for Israel, of course we support this, we support that, of course we've always been the party of gay marriage. It brings forth, it is the ratchet, it is the cycle, it is the crisis and Leviathan thing that we've talked about before. This is how the ratchet gets cranked. Really, this is how you end up creating a mass movement behind a meaningless distinction of, you know, did somebody stuff 10 ballots, but as we get to later, into a voting box in Michigan? Did that cost Trump? It doesn't matter. You're engaging in meaningless action. And even if you get everything that you want, 100% of it, nothing will meaningfully change.
Not bad, Dave. I have little else to add, to be honest. I might just go to the, I think it's the thing you've got next, and the, because it's almost perfectly what you've described here. Gateway Pundit, shocking video via MC4EI and Gateway Pundit, 13 minutes of never before seen footage of ballot and trafficking in Detroit, Michigan, including postal workers.
You know what this feels like? Remember when Jackass the movie came out? And it was like Jackass Fever. This feels like MTV releasing 5 minutes of like found Johnny Knoxville footage of him falling off a bench. This feels like the 2020 election DVD special features for people who just can't let go.
Yeah, election 2020 election 0.5 uncut.
Yeah,
extreme edition with director's commentary.
Yeah. 4 discs of extra content, including original election campaign posters, original Trump campaign adverts. You know, we've got footage of ballot boxes. We've got grainy footage of ballot officials. We've got vans turning up. We have blurry footage of postal workers. We've got it all here, guys. It's, you know, a 10-hour commentary track by Peter Jackson. It's got that vibe to it, and it's like, let's for a second interface with it like this is genuine in some way. How would this be shocking to you if you believe in the narrative? How would this be shocking to you if you're already jaded enough to say that, yes, American elections are fictitious, we know this? It's not. It's ingraining, not subconsciously, but implicitly in people's minds, that this is the exception, not the rule. That democracy would work these wonders and be this amazing, fantastical system in America if only these Democrats had stopped stuffing the ballot boxes. Yeah. We could get the Constitution to work.
The Michigan Bureau of Elections issued an election officials manual in October 2020. According to this manual, the persons who may return an absentee ballot are limited to bit. You know, as you say, it's oh well, here's the procedure. We have to make sure people stick to this procedure. I'm just waiting for the line that says, you know, we've got to preserve the dignity of our democracy or some nonsense like that.
Well, we have that from the other side as well.
How can elections be considered secure with such questionable and potentially illegal behaviour occurring at drop boxes? And with no accountability or follow-up by law enforcement for investigation or prosecution, the only sane conclusion one can come to is that the drop boxes should be eliminated. Ah, right. So that's how we save America. We come up with a new system for doing mail-in ballots.
We did it, guys. We reformed the mail-in ballot system. America is saved. It's going to be like 2050, and like a crusty, wizened official is going to come out and say that they finally stopped the steal. They finally did it. It's finally happened, guys. They finally admitted there was election fraud in 2020 after 30 years. We did it. It's been hard won. We've done nothing
else
since.
You still can't get them to admit that there was election fraud against Nixon. that was 60 odd years ago. I doubt they're going to even bother to admit any of this at any point. The only thing you're going to get, if you're lucky, is yes, we did rig the election, and that was a good thing. I mean, that's what that whole, you know, fortifying stuff was about. Which, you know, the fact that the media class can get away with writing that is a sign of all you need to see, really.
It is. It is a hegemonic humiliation ritual. I said as much. We all who knew what was going on said as much at the time. A lot of people just look. Of course, they're admitting it. They get away with it, and they're all like, and it interfacing with it like that makes you believe that there is something worth defending in democracy, which is ultimately the wheelhouse that they desperately want to keep these people in. Because if you get a dissident movement that is powerful enough that completely abandons the pretexts of I'm going to vote of the popular will as a concept, then you have something that could potentially be dangerous.
Well, I mean, the whole other side of this as well that I noticed has not been mentioned for months, but was one of the main talking points for quite a while, is voter IDs.
Yes.
Where did all the talk of that go? I mean, if there's enough Republicans out there that are actually smart enough to realize maybe we don't want to be the digital ID people, then do you know what? Fair enough on that behalf, but I don't think they're that clever.
No.
And I think that whenever some, cross-party initiative is all of a sudden cooked up so that, when 2024 comes around, there should be no questioning the result on both sides of the aisle. And the only
Well, he
solution for that is some form of biometric digital ID system that guarantees your vote or some crap like
well, that's what we're getting here in the UK.
that.
What happened was Boris Johnson brought out as a hard line conservative policy voter ID. And then the main conversation was hand-wringing about how do we get free digital ID to the immigrants? How do we, as the Conservative Party, make sure the immigrants have their barcodes? And that was the tone of the debate there, and it really told me all I needed to know about that. Even back 5 years ago when they were first cooking this up, that was the tone of it. And how do we, as the government, get the immigrants' these poor dinghy doctors' IDs? How do we enable these people to interface better with the state and the sacred instruments of democracy? It's just like, yep. It just keeps going. We'll have quite a lot more. I want to get through this quite quickly because the last part we're going to get to is going to get quite maybe a little bit theory heavy in terms of the way we discuss it. But this is how you get to the state of nobody is calling the Stop the Steal people democracy deniers. In a very re even though they're called anti-democracy, in a very real way, they are extremely pro-democracy to an extreme degree. So the wording I find of these two articles here, the election deniers, both
Oh, sorry,
Bloomberg.
I'll go for the. I thought it was the PBS one you were wanting next, but I'll put the Bloomberg one up. I had an archive one of that, and I don't know where it's gone.
It's in the
Second.
document. Or the Bloomberg one. All right. I don't know. It's easy enough to type into, but it's just it's the headlines, really. It's the way both of these are posited. What we have here is Bloomberg UK, although that's just because we're in the UK. Election deniers go door to door to confront voters after losses. Losers of the Kansas abortion referendum plan to knock on doors. Similar efforts have taken place in Arizona. Blah blah blah, baseless claims of voter fraud. So these people aren't—they're not even democracy deniers. They're just—they are deniers of the election, of the sanctified result.
Yes.
And the term deniers is meant to evoke Holocaust denial. If you refer
Essentially.
to someone as an ex-denier, you are deliberately invoking that. Science denier, election denier, all of that.
Climate change denier.
Yeah, climate denial is
COVID
another one.
denier. Vaccine
Yep.
denier.
It is a very, very, people talk about dog whistles. That's like a dog klaxon, It's not subtle, guys. It really isn't. This is it's like another form. Really what's happening here is another form of wrangling about the cookie calculation.
Yeah, anti-abortion activist Mark Gitson has said he believes the 18-point defeat in early August of a ballot measure to ban abortion in Kansas was due to fraudulent voting. A partial recount confirmed the results. So now the voting process itself in all states and all issues has a tertiary, sort of aspect to it whereby there is now this, do we need these neutral fortification bodies that micromanage all, ballot counting now? Is that the
I can't wait for elections on the blockchain. I've heard tech bros talk about it. I've
No,
heard
I
it be
know.
said.
I've read enough stuff in the World Economic Forum and the Tony Blair Institute about on it to know.
There's this from the Washington Post. This is from September. This is from only a few days ago, only 2 days ago.
Yeah. Election deniers repeatedly visited GA County office at center of criminal
Georgia.
probe.
Yes. video shows. Technology consultants who saw evidence that Donald Trump's 2020 defeat was fraudulent made multiple visits to county election offices in rural Georgia in the weeks after the alleged post-election breach of voting equipment. So people who are investigating something went somewhere to investigate it.
What? No way. Those
But it,
Nazis.
it's just this, like, he shed said, she said kind of increasing arguments over minutiae when it comes to the 2020 election that still occupies the majority of energy on the what is supposedly the dissident right in America, what is supposedly the unhappy populist wing of the Republican Party is still obsessed with proving, as if they could, in a meaningful way, proving that the 2020 election was in some way fraudulent. And when they do, that people will hail them as geniuses and finally relent in their fake news that Trump had hadn't had the votes stolen from him. It's, oh God, it's just, it's so depressing to see this amount of political energy just wasted. It reminds me of all the political energy of we need to secure a Brexit. We need to secure a proper
God,
Brexit.
how long is this article?
Very long.
Is it just constantly just like, well, this person visited this one person
Yes.
said they were teaching when they were actually talking to a forensic statistics person.
It talks about this whole cyber ninjas thing and
Sullivan Strickler, some sort of legal firm, and
basically, people went to a place where they wanted to investigate things, but news. And it's amazing how desperate. You'd think that something like the Washington Post, if there genuinely was large-scale fraud that they were very worried about coming to light, why would they keep the other side of the story going? Surely they just nix it. Surely this wouldn't come into their political radar because they wouldn't want to be talking about the recount efforts.
Well, it
Whereas
kind of makes you consider, doesn't it, that are they so confident that they control the streams of information that they are basically willing to have these people go out and engage in genuine legal trials against it, allow activist judges to basically shut it down when anything worrying comes up, and then re-flip the narrative around about how, oh, well, the judge shut the case down because these people were corrupt. And they'll just continue to do that, sort of ad infinitum, until there is
course
no
they will.
energy left in the
That's
kind
what
of
it is.
Trump base, as it were.
It's about exhausting people. People are still stuck in the exact same mindset and the exact same discussions they were in the day after the election. And they've been stuck in that pause mode for 2 years. And really, that is a major victory for both the establishment and the absence of the political left, because they've been able to freeze millions of Americans in a moment in time. They have been able to live rent free in their heads and have them unable to interface with meaningful political action until they are able to, what they feel, exhaust every crumb of hope from the Stop the Steal stuff. And they just keep providing the crumbs. They just keep throwing them a crumb, and it gets jumped upon because it's what these people have now been primed for. We have people who have been living in the reality of the just one more recount and America will be fixed mindset for 2 years. Well, that's the other reason I wanted to put the PBS one after this. It's because PBS, again, the article there is about the Arizona Supreme Court rules state Senate can keep election audit records secret. This isn't Stop the Steal people trying to get these records. This is the end. There's basically audits of the audits going on,
Oh
and audits
God.
of the audits of the audits going on. So we're like nested Russian doll of audits and of, you know, inside baseball political energy of people auditing the minutiae of subcontractors and fun methodology. And it really is just bogging people down in the
Well, I mean,
process. Like I said,
it's another layer of bureaucracy being added onto the whole process.
yes.
I
It
mean,
keeps people.
this will become like a, in 10, 15 years, there will be like a whole scope of study at university about, how do we engage in vote management or democratic management? They'll come up with some bizarro technocrat name for theories they are drawing up about how all this stuff is actually based on people's misconceptions and how, oh no, actually digital voting works like this, mail-in ballot voting works like this, blah, 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 blah. Everything can be a make-work scheme if you think about it hard enough.
It's a consumer energy scheme, really. I think the Democrats realized they struck gold with the Stop the Steal movement because they are in no danger from it. I mean, there's plenty of statistical evidence out there. I mean, it's very, you know, why do these people need verification of what their eyes saw? Why do people need this constant search for validation of what they supposedly know to be true? What was this?
George Riley for Congress, the democracy tent.
Oh no. The democracy tent.
No, I don't want to go to the democracy tent.
Don't
no.
must. Come out, Evelyn, you have to go in the democracy tent. It very much is, it creates this cycle in which the supposed far right of the of the Republican Party and the supposed far left of the Democrat Party get into this performative pissing contest of who is the most in favor of democracy. It's this kind of regime loving when it comes to it, of these people falling over themselves to performatively be the most pro-democracy, well, and about who gets to define what is and isn't pro-democracy.
But you can, who is it, you know, concluding ruling Lopez, noted that the disputes over the 2020 election continue to be a central focus of the political realm, a matter outside this court's constitutional prerogative. And at the bottom it says, Arizona legislators routinely stand for election and thus are accountable to the state's electorate, who serve as the ultimate arbiters of the wisdom of any legislative action, rather than the courts.
We have a Streamlabs donation here. It seems to have finally worked. Sorry, Streamlabs has been a little bit odd on the back end, but James Merry has donated $5, and he said, elections don't matter, but what's important is the illusion that they do, and that they are fair and representative, and that they had that from 1964 to 2016. As they drop the pretense, surely it is a good thing, as it brings more people over to our side. Well, they're not dropping the pretense, that's the thing. They're pretending that the 2020 election was some kind of gross aberration that differs from the neutral norm, and really the political action that needs to be undertaken is quote unquote fixing democracy and having more secure democracy and better democracy, rather than people realizing that the whole idea is illusory. It is quite literally, as you explained in one of your essays, the means by which the consent of the governed is manufactured. People tolerate like all the heinous shit that is done in their name by their governments because they in some way are made to feel responsible for them through the electoral process.
Well, yeah,
that
you,
is the
you voted
only
for
way.
This. It's yeah, just the simplest this way of, you know, as long as you just constantly repeat that back at the people you're doing evil under the behest of, at least supposedly, they'll begin to believe at some point that it's not evil.
Yeah.
It's kind of just that simple.
Or they will internalize within themselves that they have wished upon the world evil things and are themselves culpable rather than those who wield power. It's the mind virus, as we've often described it. It is the brain worms of the democratic process, and the dialectic between Trump, Bannon, Alex Jones, all of these people. None of them really are explicitly anti-democracy in an articulated way.
No.
None of them have a position that we would consider anywhere near the radicalism that is required for real systematic change. But they are still seen as the dangerous and illegal and imprisoned and embattled and martyred edge of the political spectrum. They have, through this process, through kind of the bonfire of MAGA, been christened in the minds of many Americans as almost saintly political figures, when really their ideology is relatively milquetoast. and honestly still preached by other sections of the Republican Party that would equally be considered rhino. That's kind of the irony here, that you have a lot of these bodies, a lot of these people, a lot of these Americans who are, they are proud that, oh, I voted for Obama, but then I voted for Trump because I lost faith in the system. They're proud about the fact they voted for Obama still. A lot of these, what'll be the new the newborn MAGAs, the r/MAGA in the in Murdoch. Democrats are the real racists. This is like Democrats are the real racists writ large. It's,
They're
you know,
the real totalitarians.
yeah,
They're the ones that really want to wield power.
Democrats are the real enemies of democracy. Republicans are the true champions of democracy. And that's what politics is about. Politics is about democracy. And that is the dialectic here. And, well, it's ultimately what any populist movement becomes, because it's populist. You have to have the element of the majoritism. You have to have the element of the people power, and that becomes
Well, we can't
self-defeating.
forget as well that Americans, and specifically Republicans, have been sold the myth for nearly 30 years now, if not longer, that all the heinous crimes they have committed across the world were in the name of ensuring American democracy, democratic
Yes.
freedom, making the world safe for democracy, as I think George Bush says pretty much word for word, God knows how many times. So I think it would actually be. In a certain sense, I think it would actually be a misstep of someone like Bannon to come out and be out and out anti-democracy.
He's fighting the programming of the Republican base doing that. He would
Yes.
have to. It's like when we talked about the whole gatekeeping thing, and we taught him wrong as a joke. Essentially, most of the base of Trump and the Republican Party has been taught wrong as a joke. And the obsession in 2022 with stop the steal, with punishing political enemies on the left who are representative of what is a spent and ultimately meaningless force in the kind of muddled non-ideology that is MAGA, and creating that as this ultimate martyr force to energize the minds of the American political right into ostensibly 90s Democrats, and just keep the whole thing trucking along. Well, the last thing we have to talk about, though, and we'll have to skim over it a little bit because we're running a little bit out of time. Good Lord, it's raining out there. It's pelting it down. I'm glad they fixed my roof.
It's the sky crying tears for the queen or something
Oh God, I
poetic
hope nobody's
like
fucking saying that. Oh, there was a storm. The queen died. There was a society. God, the old. I don't know. Like the old people crying stuff is gonna be awful. It's gonna be so much. It's gonna be laid on, like you thought the Platinum Jubilee was laid on thick. We'll get into
yeah.
that next week, though. The last part is Darker Brandon.
I see this image. It almost has his. I think he described it as sort of a democratic Nietzschean energy. He is just raw power at this point. There is nothing else that legitimizes Joe Biden other than the fact that he is the executive and he does as he pleases.
He is the sovereign. He sets the exception, even if he doesn't know where he is.
Ah, he could be
Even if he doesn't
going.
know who
He
he
doesn't
is.
know if he's having a shite or going for a haircut, but he knows who the enemy is. And he also looks like six different people, but that's a
Well,
different story.
he's been gracious here. You have ABC News here ostensibly walking back part of his. I don't know. I'm trying to find the meme now because all the red just reminded me of like the Brotherhood of Nod. It looks like he's
Yeah.
fucking Cain delivering a speech about
Th that
Tiberium.
one's that one is almost. There's some great shot composition in that one there.
Here you go. I'll give it to you. Just the people on the stream will appreciate this, for it is my pod soy boy
Are you doing
video
some Command
game.
and
Oh,
Conquer references?
I'm here. Here's have you not seen this one? Did I send you this
I
one?
know, I think you have sent this to me. I've now noticed, is that why there's Command and Conquer stuff coming up in the YouTube recommendations?
Yeah, also because I keep clicking on those Jordan Peterson ones, which are fucking genius. The Jordan Peterson like Command and Conquer cutscenes are amazing. Peace through power, guys. I don't know. I always think I always thought peace through power was just kind of fucking lit as a
Wait, someone
slogan,
in
but
chat's telling me, have they addressed the death of the Queen? She's dead? I didn't know.
oh, we do. Yeah. Have you guys heard? Have you guys heard? Right. Have you heard that the Queen's dead? That's all. That's all. It's gonna be for the next week, and then it's all it's gonna be is memorial service for the next month, and we'll tackle that next week, like we've said previously. We are regressively not being headline followers still, even though a lot of this stuff is quite recent. I think a deep dive into this is needed because this is pure friend
God.
enemy, and what it
Yeah,
does is.
the statement at the bottom, could it be any more simpering? White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Friday, the presence of the Marines at the speech was intended to demonstrate the deep and abiding respect the President has for these services, service members to these ideals, and the unique role our independent military plays in defending our democracy, no matter which party is in power.
I think that slightly, kind of not ironically, but unintentionally sums up what we've been saying. If you can read into all the regime signifiers that are in that paragraph there, you have watched our material and done well, because there is a that is like regime signifier soup,
Yep.
but in like a glorious way. That's
No, it wasn't in an ABC one, but I did notice it elsewhere. That someone covering the same speech had, as you said, the almost kind of backwalked away, like, well, not all MAGA people are terrorists. Maybe your racist uncle's an all right person if deep down you can get to him. I might actually, before we head off, do you reckon I can? I don't know if you saw it. I sent it to you on Discord. It's the clip from Oh, it's see, I don't want to tell people where the clip is from, but if I put it on, because it's a bloody, oh, it's a Telegram link anyway, it won't work.
Afraid not.
Damn it. I will put the link in the chat, however, and I recommend all people to go watch this. It is like a clip from Coronation Street of and there with some
Isn't it
activist.
Australian Coronation Street?
No, it's the UK one.
All right.
And they've got some activist weirdo who is talking about some protest they did, and I'm sure this is some big arc in the narrative of Coronation Street. But then, like, she says, oh, well, the local paper didn't talk about it. And then some guy who's clearly the weirdo in the program shows up at like the cafe, and he's like, well, don't you think about who runs the newspapers and who runs the media? They don't want you to know. And then he spend like a minute gaslighting and sort of reverse engineering this thing to like put forward the public message that, like, oh, it's dangerous to question who runs the media. Only
It's like a
weird people do
PSA.
that. Yeah.
You know, in like 80s cartoons, where I think the funniest one I've ever seen was the Sonic cartoon, where there was a PSA about kids not climbing in like washing machines and shit. But it's like that. It's they basically turn to camera and say, "You can't question who's in charge of the media. That's racist. That's anti-Semitic. What's wrong with you? That is
I
unacceptable
think
in
they do
modern
actually say it's
society."
anti-Semitic.
Yes. Tribe signaling intensifies.
Big, big nose cheems.
Big nose, big schnoff, big sniff.
Hey, air's free, goddammit.
So they admit it. Basically, that clip is great. That clip is funny. We could probably use it somewhere else if we can download it standalone. But
Yeah.
I do you did you link it? Yeah, there's a Telegram link for it. It is basically like it's. There's probably some nudge unit there that requires some percentage of programming to have like de-radicalization messages.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
like the f
Your program's got to be 40% along these guidelines of the hope not hate
Yeah.
guidebook or some nonsense
It's
like that.
like the media equivalent of having fluoride in your drinking water. You know, it's got to be a certain percentage of this that the government says is good for you.
Yep.
I still remember that there was the Huffington Post of all places had a great comprehensive report about how overly fluoride water in America was proven by like seven different peer-reviewed studies to have possibly lowered children's IQs by 10 points. 10. That's a difference between being like a researcher and a bin man, because there's only that narrow like 100 to 110 range in which you can interface with modern
Think how many
society.
people weren't midwits because of that, though.
Maybe. I don't know. There's certain demographics that can't afford to lose 10 points. Good lord, that puts them in like sheepdog range. That's getting to snail territory in some places. You got to leave them the ability to tie the shoes. Come on, come on, waterboard. I think we've neatly run out of rope on the hour there. Now that I'm
Yes.
rambling about fluoride.
Well, no, I think we've roughly got the point across, though, that as any seriously organized energy has moved away from the Trump movement, it is basically all crumbling. And what is left is either just being taken apart bit by bit, or is playing its part in a sort of show trial to make the whole thing last longer than it might otherwise.
Yes, it's about drawing it out. If there was this organic movement out there, they wouldn't need to keep agitating it. It's all very astroturfed, and that's how you can really tell that the Trump and MAGA stuff is not genuine dissident action. It is caged. It is more than caged and fed, really. It's on like ultra life support. They're like sticking cables in it and shit. It's like it's the sort of like Borg creation where it's half life support, because they have to just keep this thing going to keep the wheels on, to not have people discuss the fact that California has manufactured rolling blackouts, and they've banned all small petrol engines, so you can't have like a petrol powered chainsaw anymore. God, abs. Anyway.
I was gonna say a chainsaw, that's a lot of D cell batteries.
Yes. Usually that's followed by a what by Fred Durst as well. What? Well, again, we'll do a little bit of shilling. We are on the 29th of October hosting our Nomos event in London.
We are indeed.
We'll hopefully have some more details of that. I'm hoping starting next week to have basically every single week different details about it, because we've not really hit the ground running with marketing that yet. And we need to get theming out there. We've got some good speaker announcements. Hopefully that'll get the ball rolling again on. We've sold about 20 of the tickets though, so we're not dying for it, and we haven't really revealed stuff about it yet. But if you guys want to come and
I
see us in
will say though,
person.
because there will come that point either towards the sort of the end of this month, start of next month, where most people will get their tickets, and it will go from probably being only 20 or 30 to all of a sudden having sold 60 or 70. So it is worth possibly considering picking up your tickets
That's what I'm saying. If you
sooner
guys
rather
want to get
than
in
later.
early, because more than half of the early bird tickets have already been sold. So if you guys want to come and see us in person, we are doing another one of our Nomos events in London on the 29th of October. You shilled your article on Substack earlier. I will just shill the Substack in general, since I'm hoping to have a couple more articles on it myself over the coming weeks. I've shielded it before, but I will be in the Shieldings event book. I don't have the link for that to hand right now, but if you guys know any of the Shieldings platforms, you can purchase it through there. I have my essay, Pub Praxis Demystifying Distant Action, that will be in that book, along with your essay on propaganda that is currently available in your Substack.
Indeed.
As always, we have a Telegram. We have a Discord for Nomos and a Discord for Telegram as well. I have
A
my Discord
Discord for
server.
Telegram, I think even a Telegram for Nomos.
A Telegram for Nomos, sorry. We have a Discord and a Telegram for Nomos. And we have our own Discord for just posting updates and news. I have my legacy Discord. There's a lot of different kind of segmented platforms, but it keeps stuff focused, and it keeps the peanut butter out of mashed potatoes, as it were.
I'll say that I have noticed the numbers on the Telegram have actually been quite good as of late. It's been growing a decent amount,
Oh
so.
boy, just doing numbers.
Well, it's not that we've got loads and loads, but I think for having basically started the page on there with almost no traction outside back into it, we've done all right, so.
I'm looking, there's a few people live right now. I
I believe
believe
Radlib is. I
Yes,
don't
I
know
believe
if
Mr. Radical Liberation has been alive for about an hour, but he does tend to
Yes.
do slightly longer streams. So what we can do is actually we can hand off to Radical Liberation, and if you guys want to put a scrump raid notification in his chat, just scrump sent me or whatever, because we do like to try and get people to go over and keep the dissident train running, as it were. Only you can prevent YouTube channels collapsing. No, it, as we've said in previous videos, likes help, interactions help, blah 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 blah, normal YouTube stuff. It's the only way for us not to get essentially disappeared. So come join, come like, come do whatever you need to do, whatever you want to do. It's really the only way we still get seen. So it's terrible YouTube stuff. I hate saying it, I hate doing it, but that's just the way it is, I'm afraid.
Things will
But
always be the
it's just the way it is.
same.
Anyway, it's I'll say goodbye from me, because I'm all out of scrump gas.
Yes, I've been up to a lot today as well, so it's going to be goodbye from me as well. Or shall I say good evening, where whatever it is. I'm sure it's evening everywhere around the world,
Yes,
as long as it's evening in Britain.
it's always evening somewhere, man.
Everything's somewhere, man.
Thank you guys very much for coming, and thank you for everyone who shows up on a repeat basis. Again, thank you again to our supporters, and good night. There we go. Just